The NFL season is over, and with it went our old theme song. But we're just getting started here on 32 Fans. The off-season, new theme song, new podcast topics. Kiva, we're back.
Yeah, it's, you know, we threatened to leave, but really the support was, I wouldn't say it was overwhelming. I'd say it was whelming.
Yeah, there's the classic line from 10 Things I Hate About You. You can be overwhelmed and you can be underwhelmed. Can you just be whelmed? I think we're whelmed, right?
Yeah, people said you should continue. Nobody was like, I'll probably do something horrible to myself if you guys stop.
Well, your buddy, Rob Cisternino, who I referenced in my opening today, he referred to our podcast as intoxicating.
Yeah. I mean, like me, he's from Long Island, so he probably doesn't even know what that word means. That's okay.
Probably saying, you know, if we're intoxicating, I guess that means you should not listen to this podcast when operating heavy machinery. So,
sure.
Which is dangerous because most people listen to podcasts either when they're driving or when they're at the gym. So, but I don't want to be the cause of, you know, anybody injuring themselves.
I don't think, I feel like the odds are against that. You need more listeners to really cause accidents and stuff.
Well, it doesn't have to be like a 25 car pileup. Or almost unanimously, the feedback was that we should keep our name. Jim Crumley on Twitter said, and I think this is probably the smartest move. He said, you know, take the idea of the old TV show, Two Guys, a Girl, and a Pizza Place, and we should just shorten to 32 fans. And 32 fans in 32 days is way too cumbersome. I never know on Twitter, do I hashtag like 32i, use the acronym. So I think 32 fans is good. We'll just be 32 fans.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't think that makes a difference.
All right. So this podcast for now is called 32 fans. It still makes no sense, but
it's easier to say at least.
Yeah. So welcome to the new and not improved, but the new but equally mediocre 32 fans.
Yeah, I'm a little rattled. You have to, you know, not mind me for a few minutes here.
Rattled? Why?
Well, right before we came on, I saw there was a series of tweets. I don't know if people on this podcast know this. I don't know if I even talk about it on the Seinfeld podcast. I don't remember about how I have much younger siblings. And so one of them is, you know, I have two sisters in high school and then one sister who's like me, you know, 30-year-old married. And what my sister is a freshman in high school who's 14, 15. I'm not sure how old she is, 14 or 15. But
she's much closer in age to your kids than she is to you.
Yes, much closer. Yeah, she's 14.
Do your kids call her by her first name? Like, she's not aunt, whatever.
No, right? Of course not. Yeah, it's a 4-year difference between my daughter and my sister. So she's 14 and my oldest daughter is 10, right? And
you got married when you were about 14.
When I was 20.
Yeah.
So yeah, she might only have 6 more years. Yeah. But so she apparently takes American Sign Language in high school as her foreign language or whatever. And so she's like a fangirl.
It's not really a foreign language.
Yeah, but I think that
it's a domestic language.
It fulfills your requirement.
I think the A stands for American, doesn't it, in ASL?
Yeah, but not necessarily North America. You know, it could be like South America. It could be, I don't know. I don't know which.
By the way, how many different sign languages are there?
I'm not sure. Probably every country has their own.
So there's wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, I never thought about that till now, but you just blew my mind. Anyway, so she is like really into this YouTube guy who's garbage and a singer who's probably also garbage, but...
She's 14, so probably all of her interests are
sure, of course. But this singer has millions of followers on Twitter, and so she did a video, like a Twitter video, of her signing to the chorus of one of his songs, and he replied to her, which, you know, is like, that means you have to change your whole profile to so-and-so.
It's her happiest day of her life.
Of course, yeah. Like, even when she's 80, it'll be the best day of her life. But
boy, you don't have high hopes for your sister going forward.
No. But also he at replied. He didn't retweet it. The retweet will get you like thousands of new followers probably and stuff for something like that. But she also has like 3,000 followers already, which is, I don't know how she does, because it's not like she follows 3,000 people and gets the follow backs. I'm not sure what exactly.
Youth culture is a whole other world.
I don't know. I don't understand. But I don't know if she's buying bots, if she's like stealing my parents' credit card. That wouldn't shock me if she has a lot of bots. But also she's just like super in this world, obsessed with these two or three people I've never heard of and no one should ever go near.
Do you remember a couple of years ago there was that girl who was doing like a very like this this little blonde girl, but she was doing like this very sort of hardcore signing of an Eminem song and it got really, really popular?
No.
It was like a viral video.
Do you know if you want to go to a concert and you're deaf in most states, or like a stand-up comedy show or something, I think most like legitimate venues they need to hire.
Americans with Disabilities Act.
Yeah, they need to like hire. So
So that's why this girl did it, and it became a. I'm sure you've seen this. It was a couple years ago. It went viral. It was a girl like just doing the entire song, but also it's really hard to do a hip hop song, especially an Eminem song, in sign language because he raps so quickly.
Right.
So it's very impressive. So maybe your sister can join with that other girl.
Yeah, I mean, it's the type of thing, like, do you remember French from high school or Spanish? Like, I'm sure she'll forget it, very soon after she is finished with the class. Anyway, now I'm, like, jealous because she gets 400 retweets on her thing. And now I'm in trouble because I made fun of her in a tweet. I said something like, our parents said she'd never amount to anything, but here she is with 400 retweets. And so now I'm going to be, like, grounded by my parents. I'm 32. And then, but, like, just if you think that's, like, a heartwarming story of, like, a little kid who learned sign language in school and knew it well enough to tweet at her favorite singer and get acknowledged by him. And that's great. Like, the third reply to her is Hail Hitler. So
the internet it's still the internet. Yeah, of course.
The internet is the best. Anyway, I wanted to talk about like our schedule for the next few weeks before we get into today's, main sort of topic.
Okay.
I want to point out, like, I haven't shaved in about a month.
Oh, I haven't shaved in a month either. I'm growing a beard.
But I'm at the point, I just realized now, I guess I don't speak, I sit at my desk all day, I don't speak that much.
The hair is going into your mouth or
the
something.
Mustache is like blocking me. I was like thinking like, can we stop the podcast for a few minutes and I'll shave. But then my problem is, then I have to like, I either can't leave the house till I finish. I can't just like cut out the mustache hairs that are going in my face.
Why? You'll just look nice and Amish.
Yeah, and I know I'm going to fall asleep before I finish shaving tonight. So then I'm going to have to do it tomorrow, and then I'm going to push it off tomorrow. So, and I'm not going to be able to leave the house.
But it's still February, so you're not due to leave the house again for another few weeks, I thought.
It's true. But I think I'm not going to do it. But it's really annoying. It's like in my mouth. I have to like.
Yeah, we went to dinner with like a large group of friends on Sunday evening.
Oh, humble brag. This guy's got a. Well, there was no humble part. It was just a brag. Look at you.
Well, you got low standards for brags. But the point is that I'm sitting in. There was a large. Many of
are these your
there.
Friends or your wife's friends?
So a couple.
I know
were
you
mine,
guys don't have the same friends.
A couple were mine, a couple were hers, and then a couple were friends of her friends.
What was the? Was it like your birthday? Like why are you going out with your friends and her friends?
It just sort of it became an idiotic thing where we're going to dinner and then this person comes and that person invited that.
Where'd
person.
Where'd you go?
Nargila Grill, a Middle Eastern place on 84th in York.
Yeah, it sounds bad.
It's been around for years, so
okay.
The Adana Kebab is the way to go. I always get the Adana Kebab. It's a grilled lamb.
That's good to know. If I never come to your house.
Yeah. Anyways, you're coming next October, remember? You lost the bet.
Okay. We'll talk about it then.
Are you a renegger? Are you a backer-outer?
No, I'm not going to renege, but I didn't say you have to come to that. Like, let's say you come visit me, then, I don't know. We'll figure it out.
No, the terms of the bet, actually, is we can go back to the podcast, where you're in the house of the other person.
Fine.
Yeah.
Fine, but
anyways,
your wife
anyways,
has to join
this,
for the
we're
podcast.
We're at this meal, and my face was, I was sort of at that peak point, like 3 weeks in of a beard, when it's like peak itchiness.
Okay.
And I was just scratching my face like a psychopath or something, somebody with like severe eczema or a mental illness the entire meal. And my wife was giving me really dirty looks. And the problem is it wasn't like subtle. It was so over the top that I had to acknowledge it. So I kept on. So I then like half of the conversation on my end was discussing how itchy my beard was, which probably makes it worse. But I didn't want to like.
And then why haven't you shaved since?
Oh, so what I actually did is last night I shaved like the under part, like the part on your neck.
Yeah,
so now it looks like an actual beard. Yeah. But I actually on Thursday last week, my wife and I went to a taping of the Colbert, Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
And you should go see this on YouTube if you haven't seen it, because it's so ridiculous. There's some girl on there. Your sister probably knows her. Her name is like Sarah McDonald. She's like an Instagram star.
Oh,
and
boy.
She's on the cover of the new Playboy, which is the first Playboy to not be 100% nude.
Okay.
So she was on the cover of this magazine. She comes out. She's like, she's 19 years old. She was a complete moron. I mean, Colbert was like openly antagonistic towards her because he was so mad that she was booked on his show, obviously. She was like complete ditz. She had nothing to say. But the reason that you have to see this online, I'm telling you it's worth it, is because her dress, she was wearing a strapless dress.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a dress that was sort of very low hanging. On her chest, and she had a lot of duct tape holding it up, which my wife has explained to me they always do like at events like this. but it wasn't working.
Who's the they? I don't know. What's that they?
Women who wear those kinds of dresses.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Anyways, like it's not, you know, you need help to make it stay in place, basically, okay, when you're going to be on TV.
Yeah.
But this dress was falling all over the place to such a comical extent that the girl was literally holding it up with both her hands for the entire interview.
This was like her first time in the limelight.
This is on TV. Like, it was insane. And then
I'm saying, like, she's not like a seasoned pro. This is like her first time on a late night show, probably, or something.
Yeah, well, she's making the rounds, doing publicity for the new magazine cover. But yeah, I mean, as I kept saying to my wife, I'm like, I don't understand backstage why somebody didn't fix this problem. So then Steven, like, oh, and she also complained about, she has one blue eye and one green eye, and she complains about how people see her and they're always staring at her eyes. And she's like, hey, the only thing anybody knows about me is my eyes. And Steven's like, I can assure you that's not what anybody's noticing right now.
That's funny.
And then he said to her at one point, he's like, do you need some more duct tape? And then he actually took his notes, like his paper on his desk, and he sort of put it over her chest. Where he's like, anyway, so but the point is, she was not acknowledging, she was trying to go by, and the point is, when you have that obvious thing, you just have to acknowledge it, because everybody's noticing anyways, and at least you can be self-aware.
Okay, but yeah, that was like a long way to brag that you went to the Colbert Report or something.
No, that was just it's not a brag.
Guys,
free
all right, let me find,
free
I'll go
tickets
back. I'll go back
anyone can
so
get
guys,
it's really
in,
not a brag.
2005 I went to Conan. In the old Conan studio.
It's Conan, not Conan.
It was Harrison Ford, Amy
Wait,
Adams,
really?
and Katie Tunstall was the
who was
the musical guest.
Never heard.
Are we going back and forth in nonsense? Anyway, so let's talk about what we're going to do for the next few weeks. I think, and don't hold us to this, people who don't care, that this week we're going to do, we're going to draft NBA teams for the rest of the season for how many wins they're going to get the rest of the way. And I think we should talk about the rules a little bit more in a second. And then next week, we're going to do some sort of Oscars power rankings or draft or something like that. Right now, I've seen all the Oscar movies already, and Chester is working his way through them. Is that right?
Well, I saw Straight Outta Compton.
Just say
night.
Yes or no.
Has that been nominated for any Oscars?
I think the white guys who wrote the script only. That's a big controversy.
Actually, I thought the Eazy-E character should have been nominated for supporting
actor.
That's
what people are saying. Yeah. Okay. But yeah, Chester's working his way through that. And then 2 weeks, we all have also have a fun idea that we'll maybe flesh out a little bit more. But so we have plenty of, and then we'll get to the NCAA tournament. And
for those who like football, opening. I just want to point out that I wanted this week to Akiva and I to discuss our top 10 all-time quarterback rankings. Mm-hmm. And he vetoed me. He said, no, we're talking about the
NBA. That's absurd. That's something to do in July. Like, oh, good, football's coming. You don't do that after the season.
Are we going to talk about Peyton Manning's sexual assault?
No, alleged, please. Of course not. If Tom Brady gets in trouble, we could talk about that. Anyway, so fine. So let's start with this NBA draft. I just wanted to ask you, so we're going to draft teams. I guess we could draft every team. Well, you know, we'll each get 15. We'll go quickly. But should we include playoff wins? And if so, do they count as one win? Like, how does that work? I say we should include playoff wins to make it more exciting.
I say we should not. Because then you're sort of jumping on your NBA playoff preview podcast.
Oh, that's the least of our problems. Who knows if we'll exist? Oh, my God.
No. We're just saying the next 30, whatever.
It's like a comedian who goes to like his first open mic and he's like, well, I don't want to do my best joke now because 8 years from now, I want to lead with that on Letterman. Like, are you an idiot?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the dunk contest. And as you know, I was very interested in Saturday night at the All-Star game because, as Joe Mandy, a comedian and a big Timberwolves fan, said, the Saturday night of the All-Star game is the NBA Finals for Timberwolves fans. So I was very into it, obviously, with Karl Anthony Towns and with Zach LaVine winning for the second year in a row. It's always like when you're doing your dunks, how do you order your dunks? Like, you don't want to have your best dunk first, but if you don't have a good dunk first, you might not even make it to the next round. And then, of course, they got into like the extras. And then Zach LaVine in like the fourth overtime round pulled out a free throw line between the legs, which is one of the two or three greatest dunks ever. And he wasn't even planning to use it, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy. That's like a Milton Berle, you know, he was pulling out just enough to win. Although many would argue that Gordon actually deserved to win. So did you see the dunk contest? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course. It's tough. Nobody knows the rules. So that was difficult.
Saturday night, by the way, between the dunk contest and that GOP debate, it was pandemonium on television.
Absolute on Twitter.
Insanity.
On Twitter.
Yeah. Well, on Twitter reacting to television. Yeah,
What's the worst Twitter night of the year? Because I was thinking the Grammys, like I didn't watch them, but I was going through my tweets in the morning and it's like, this is, who cares? There's not one interesting or funny thing being said.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'd be some random day in the summer, like the day after the All-Star game when there's no sports except for the ESPYs.
Like, I
there's
follow...
There's no TV, and it's nice weather out, so people aren't hanging around in front of their Twitter screens.
The rules that, you know, I'll tweet, like, maybe I'll tweet a couple times in one day and then not tweet again for, like, 3 weeks. That's how people should be doing it. I don't want it, like, I feel like we are 8 years past this nonsense that you need to have, like, 20 comments on the Oscars and 20 jokes. Like, say, give me your best joke and delete it immediately if it doesn't get, like, a retweet within 5 seconds. You know,
well, then you can do it on Magic Dust or whatever Mark Cuban's thing is. That disappears.
Oh, yeah, Cyber Dust. Well, you could just do it there and just
leave it
there.
It
no one will see it anyway. Yeah, that's probably not. We're not the first people to make that joke, but anyway. So
speaking of not the first person to make that joke, another movie I saw this weekend also disappointed me, Trainwreck. And I have so many angry comments to make about the idiotic basketball logic of that movie, which is LeBron James lives in New York, even though he's on the Cavs. Did you see Trainwreck?
No, I saw part of it. And I'm like, why? A lot of times I'll stop watching a movie in the middle if I don't like
There was no explanation for why LeBron lives in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he lives in New York. It's probably the preseason because he keeps talking about how he has to go to practice every day. But then they show what is like the first game of the season. So it's probably like based on sort of the logic of the story. It's like September, October. It's like the NBA preseason. But either way, why does LeBron live in New York? Completely unexplained.
Yeah, I mean, and Amy Schumer is such a big basketball fan. I'm kind of shocked that she doesn't know that.
Well, so I was reading about the movie. LeBron was literally the only basketball player she had ever heard of, which is how he got cast.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I mean, there's others.
Was John Cena the only wrestler? How did he get cast?
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of NBA players in it. You know, Amari's in it. Tony Romo's in it. Anyway, but the point is that she makes the same joke, which I made on the podcast a couple weeks ago, about how, like, what kind of adult man wears another adult man's jersey? What are you, his boyfriend? And she made the same joke. And I just want to point out, I was not stealing it from that movie because I hadn't seen that movie yet, although I might have heard it in my subconscious.
Yeah, but that's a terrible take. I'm pro-jersey at a game, so that's not a good take.
Yeah.
Anyway.
What about in any other context? Would you wear a jersey, like, down the street?
No, of course not. I mean, maybe if, like, the Jets won the Super Bowl.
Well, but when you were 16, you would have.
Oh, yeah. My Twitter profile is me when I'm 8 wearing a David Robinson jersey with the Spurs shorts, and the jersey's tucked into the shorts. So when I was a little kid, like, I would wear the full uniform. I didn't realize.
But once you're an adult, when Adrian Peterson set the all-time record for rushing in a game his rookie year, which was my first year of law school, the next day I wore my Peterson jersey to class. And my law school is not the kind of place where people wear jerseys. But, you know, I felt like, you know, he had just set the all-time record I had to represent.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, so do you want the first pick for NBA team wins the remainder of the season or the next two?
Next two? Well, let's just go back and forth. Why make it complicated?
Well, but isn't it a big advantage to have the Warriors the rest of the way? Like, we could do one and then 2-3 and then... Or I got it. It doesn't really matter.
I mean, you're putting too much thought into this, honestly. I don't care. I thought you'd want the second pick because you'd probably want to take the Spurs.
Well, I wouldn't take the Spurs second because...
Discuss that in a second. Yeah. All right. Okay. Fine. So who's... You want to go first or second? I don't care.
Who went first in the last draft? Pretend to know.
What was the last draft?
I think we drafted races. Well, we canned that podcast. We didn't put
races.
Don't tell anyone. I was like, I think the Arians went for no.
Yeah, Dave Chappelle already. Oh no, it was Super Bowl props.
Okay.
We didn't really go back and forth on that one.
Yeah.
All right, I'm gonna flip a coin right now. I'm gonna Google. I'm sure this is a website. Virtual coin flip.
Oh, this is even stupider than my first, second, and third.
Virtual coin flip. There it is. Flipping. Oh, it's on Google. Call heads or tails. Oh, wait, it already flipped.
Heads.
Okay.
Heads.
But it's too late. I'm gonna click flip it and then call. Go.
Heads.
Call it.
Heads.
Oh, it's heads. All right.
Okay.
The first one was tails, but I'd already seen it. So even though you were calling it, it really didn't matter. But I'm going to give it to you.
All right. Golden State Warriors first. I feel like they're going for the record.
Yeah. The thing is with all these teams at the top, Golden State, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, they're all basically going to be locked into the 1-2-3 seed pretty early.
Yeah.
And in the East, it's the same way with Cleveland and Toronto.
Yeah. You're going to be seeing a lot of guys sitting. Golden State is in a little bit of a different boat because – if they're really into this record, they can do it.
Yeah.
And they also, Golden State's the type of team, they only really have three guys who must, like, they're still going to win every game as long as Curry, Thompson, and Draymond are playing. Like, they could, if Iguodala or Barnes or somebody misses a month, they'll probably still keep winning. Whereas the Spurs, like, if Kawhi goes, you know, obviously they'll start losing. But, like, even with Duncan, they've started losing games on the road, and Duncan's probably their fourth best player at this point at best.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the Warriors are the obvious first choice for the reason you said, because they're going for the record. I think they're going to get it. I actually made predictions for every game remaining.
For every team?
Yeah.
What, like in general or because I told you we were doing this podcast?
I do this every year. Well, you know, as you know, in the preseason, I predict every game in the NFL.
Wait, so maybe you were scratching your beard because you have a mental illness.
Is the deep level of my ridiculous charts a new thing to you?
This is the saddest, because this is just so irrelevant. Like, who cares?
Well, I do it every year for baseball and basketball, not until after
every game?
The All-Star break.
You predict every game in baseball when you don't know who the pitchers are?
Well, I generally know. I know for the next 5 days, and then I sort of project out from there.
Project out from there? So you're like, how do you even do this? And like, September 3rd. All right, wait, hold on. I'm projecting a rain delay.
Hold on. To be clear,
I don't think Corey Kluber is going to start
It's a rough estimate. Basically, the way it works is if you're playing a three-game series on the road against a good team, I have you winning one out of three. And if it's against a bad team, you know, it's sort of a rough estimate, you know.
I thought you were actually like, it was a guarantee.
No, I'm not for basketball, but I only do this for contending teams. I do this sort of so that I can predict who's going to be in the playoffs. But so what I did is I extended it out for all the teams. So I have Golden State going 26-4 the rest of the way, which would put them at 74-8. Mm-hmm. The one question I have is, you know, whenever somebody gets a record, they tend to rest after they got the record because, like, well, now we have the record. Right. But you have to think in the future where your record is going to be the new record. So in other words, the Golden State shouldn't get to 73 and then lose the last couple games of the year because they're resting.
That's not what Barry Bonds did. He kept juicing that record.
Yeah, there you got to keep pushing it. So I have Golden State winning 74 games. I have them winning 26 from here on out, which is the most. So they're the top seed over there. Obvious first pick for you. All right, with the second pick, I'm going to take Cleveland. I have them winning 23 games from here on out, which will have them, a nice cushion over Toronto for the one seed. They might rest down the stretch, but with Kyrie finally healthy and the offense is kicking a little bit, Love is playing a little bit better. So I think that's the obvious first second pick.
Yeah, that's a good pick. I do think the Cavs are I mean, again, the trade deadline is coming up this weekend, so
there's so much in flux. Yeah. So there's already been one trade today. Did you see that?
Just as we started, it was a minor trade. Courtney Lee traded from the Grizzlies to the Bobcats. That's very minor.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Which trade are you talking about?
I mean that's
are you talking about the LeBron for Carmelo trade?
No, that one isn't. That one's not coming out until tomorrow. We don't want to spoil the podcast.
Wait, so I don't know. What trade was there? You making it up?
There was a couple pieces of news. So the trade was Brandon Jennings and Ersan Ilyasova were traded to Orlando for Tobias Harris.
Oh, Brandon Jennings went to Orlando?
Yeah.
I missed that somehow.
Yeah, so people were talking about, that he was an available point guard. Teams like the Knicks were interested in him. By the way, it's so ridiculous how these NBA rumors start. Frank Isola in the New York Daily News writes an article saying the Knicks need a point guard. They should trade for Ricky Rubio, right?
Right.
I read the article. There was zero substance to it.
No. Well, there's no substance to Frank Isola. Like, he is literally, he's like the epitome of like a cranky old sports writer. He's not old, but he's literally, all he does is like talk about how attractive like the women on the sideline are.
Oh, I was going to say he's on Around the Horn, which I listen to every day, of course, for some reason. And he's sort of like the affirmative action for like young Italian Americans. Like, he has to sort of have like the hot takes of like, Not in a racial way, but like, for example, when they were talking about Peyton Manning yesterday, they were talking about how the story doesn't really get legs the way it would if maybe he was an African-American quarterback. He had to jump in and say, well, Johnny Manziel's white and we've been criticizing him, you know. And I don't have anything against Frank Isola.
Yeah, he literally like understands,
he seems like a nice
basketball.
Guy.
No, he's not. I'm sure he's not. He's probably a terrible person.
All right, you said it. But anyways, so he makes some comment on how the Knicks should try and get Rubio. No context, no explanation. And now it's all over every blog and every like discussion. Oh, are the Knicks going to trade for Rubio? And every single conversation links back to the Isola article, which didn't even say sources say. It was just his speculation.
Wait, do you understand that he's not allowed to talk to the players? The Knicks? Like, he's so banned. Have you ever read this stuff? And this isn't...
Oh, are you being serious?
Yeah. He's not like... He's enemy number one at Madison Square Garden. There have been articles about this where he, you know, because he's written like, you know, negative stories about the team for so long that they have like four minders near him. No one's really allowed to answer his question. Like, it's insane.
Oh, I didn't know. I was
Google
starting
it afterwards.
Here.
Yeah. It's been on Deadspin and stuff. Anyway, okay.
Oh,
so pick number three, I'm going to go with Oklahoma City Thunder. I really think they're winding into gear. They haven't played. They've been dominating teams in their division, and they have a lot of those coming up to close the season. Much closer to the Spurs and Thunder than they are to the Cavs and Clippers and Raptors. And
yeah, they're basically locked into the three seed.
But I mean, just in terms of like who's the best team, like they're better.
Oh, they're the third best team in the league.
They would.
You know why? Because Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant are 2 and 3 in the MVP race right now. So, you know, when you have two of the three best players in the league.
Well, is LeBron the fourth best player in the league now?
I'm not talking about who's the best player in the league. I'm talking about who should be the MVP based on this season.
No, I agree.
I Curry, and then I have the two Thunder guys. Then I have your boy Kawhi at 4, and then I have LeBron at 5.
Okay.
And I had LeBron at 5 last year, but I still thought LeBron was the best player in the world, and in the playoffs he clearly was.
Sure.
But
there are a lot of guys who were better and who like kind of mail it in now in the regular season, like Blake Griffin and people like that who really turn it on in the playoffs. I mean, Duncan hasn't taken regular season seriously in years. So yeah, I'm going to pick the Thunder, and I feel like they are a contender for the best record the rest of the way if they can.
The only issue is they're going to be
Westbrook
locked
in. Westbrook and Ibaka stay healthy.
They're 5.5 games behind.
No,
San
right
Antonio.
Now, here's the thing. You look at they play the Spurs, I think, 3 more times or something like that. And the Spurs play the Warriors 3 more times also.
Okay, but Akiva, they're 5.5 back of a team that has lost so far.
Eight times
the entire
year.
Yeah,
but the Spurs are going to, like, Ginobili might not play in the regular season. Like, he has a groin injury so bad they won't even tell you what it is. That's the weird thing. Like, players have no privacy, but if a guy has a groin injury, like, they'll just say groin injury, even if it's not a groin injury. It's like he burst a testicle or something.
Come on. Oh, my God. Why would you say that?
Well, I just.
Oh, my God.
We bring people the truth here.
I was going to say half of our listeners, but then realistically 98.8% of our listeners who are male just squirmed in their seats.
Anyway.
Oh, just one more wrinkle, by the way. Yeah. Oklahoma City only has 28 games left.
Yeah.
So it's a couple fewer in the bag. But again, I think they're going to rest the last week. First of all, they have two guys who are more important than anybody else's top guys.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're locked in the 3 seed, I think they, you know, lose one or two games at the end of the year that they otherwise would win. So
those guys don't risk a lot. Like, they do get hurt, but those Durant and Westbrook don't really take a lot of nights off.
Yeah. So now for my next pick. I mean, I just assumed you were going to take the Spurs. So now I'm like, are you like teasing me for some reason? Is there something you know that I don't?
Yeah, look at their record. The record's insane. They haven't played a good team all season.
Yeah. Well, I'm taking the Spurs. I have them going 21-8 from here on out. Again, they're going to be locked in. And so they're going to, you know, they're probably going to rest a couple guys once. But I still think they're going to get, you know, close to 20 wins. They might drop a couple to Golden State or OKC, but they're 45-8 for a reason. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. With the fifth pick, I'm going to pick the Raptors because they have a garbage schedule the rest of the way. They've actually been playing really well. They're legitimately the second best team in the East. And you look at some of the teams, like Atlanta is really in flux. They don't know what to do. Miami now has Bosch perhaps out for a really long time, even though their ceiling is really high. And then Boston is a paper tiger who's like all the system and the coach. And when it comes to the playoffs, they're going to be exposed.
Well, but hold on. So there's a couple of things here. So first of all, and I'm now realizing that the reason you wanted to do a snake, it makes much more sense because there's a clear, like there was the clear number one, and then there's a clear break at five.
Wait, don't assume I'd spent even one second.
No. I know. I'm not saying that you spent, but it actually, like, so I also have Toronto winning 21 games, the same as San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And actually, I thought maybe I should pick Toronto instead of San Antonio because they have one extra game. So they, you know, there's no punishment for a loss here and they could bank an extra win. And after that, there's a big drop. I have one team at 18 and then drops to 17, 15. So yeah, there's a big cutoff here. Toronto's clearly the next pick. The only issue is, again, they're going to be locked into the 2 seed in the East, so they might rest guys. Although their schedule's, you know, cake, so it doesn't really matter. You were hating on Boston. Let me just point out, vis-a-vis Boston, that they could be making a huge trade in the next 2 days.
But
we'll get to that. All right. So with my third pick, I guess I'll take the Clippers. You know, they're the only other team left in the league that's going to win 50 games this year. They're 17 games over 500. They're winning 2/3 of their games, even without Blake. So, you know, I have them down for going 18-11 from here on out.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Fine. So at 7, I'm going to pick the always exciting Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, I have them going. I would not have picked them. I mean, people are saying that they're going to dump guys, that they're going to trade Horford and they're going to trade Teague.
I mean, when has a team dumped guys when they're fourth in the playoff race?
When they're fourth in a terrible conference and when they're a huge gap behind like one and two. I mean, they have no chance. This is why Teague is leaving at the end of the season and they're not going to get anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're not going to win a title this year or even go to the finals.
No, they're not going to win a title.
They were much better last year.
They're going to be favored in a playoff series probably.
Yeah, in the first round. Whoop-de-doo.
And
So I have them at 14.
If they get to 3, you know, they can't play with Toronto. They could play with Toronto.
Yeah. You know, it's just you have to build in here because we're 2 days before the deadline. You have to build in like the various risks of teams that are buyers and sellers. Atlanta's more likely to be a seller than a buyer, which is why I would not take them here.
Not buying, no pun intended, any major trades like that.
Oh, you don't think this? I think there's going to be a big... There's always big trades in the NBA. That's what makes the NBA so much better than, you know, like the NFL, for example, vis-a-vis trades. Although baseball also obviously has big trades. There's always huge trades because there's so many bad GMs in the NBA. There's fewer now than there used to be when we were like in high school and college, obviously.
Sure. Yeah, we could have been GMs when we were in high school and college.
Yeah. I mean, Bill Simmons had a campaign, and I mean, it was ridiculous, but it wasn't ridiculous. Because,
no, he would know. Definitely would have been a better GM than David Kahn.
Yeah, Kahn was there.
And that's who he campaigned for, the Bucks job.
And the Timberwolves job. Yeah.
And then the Timberwolves job. And
I remember the Bucks job. I don't remember the Timberwolves job so much, but I was rereading the introduction to the Book of Basketball the other day by Chuck Klosterman, and he talked in there about how, at the moment, Bill Simmons is trying to become the general manager of the Minnesota Timberwolves. I was like, Oh yeah, he did do that.
Yeah, and he never mentions the Bucks one again. But he tried really hard to do the Bucks.
His argument was so bad. His argument was like, "How else am I going to get the Timberwolves to lead around the horn? Like, really? That's your goal, to lead around the horn? Like, that's your argument? Like, when you go into a meeting with your owner, your argument is because we'll be on the lead of a stupid talk show."
It's
on,
true. That's what like Jarvis Crittenden said. You know, he's like, the Washington Wizards are never. Like, I'm going to bring a gun to the locker room.
Yeah. All right. So I have two teams that I've projected win 17 games each. I'm going to take Memphis, even though. Wait, Gasol's out for the rest of the year.
You're taking Memphis over Boston. Boston has been picked.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah. I'm taking Memphis over Boston. I have them both winning 17 games from here on out. You know, Boston, again, I think that they could become a buyer and become a little bit better, but they only have 27 games, whereas Memphis has 29 games, so I get two extra in the bag. Gasol's out for the year, but at least for the next, you know, week or two until Griffin comes back, Memphis is still fighting with the Clippers for the 4 seed, you know, which gets home court advantage in the first round. But they're also a risk. They could sell, you know, they could trade Conley. This could go totally in the wrong direction. There's talk about Conley getting traded to the Lakers. Mm-hmm. So definitely a risky pick. I probably should have taken Boston. I'm already immediately regretting my decision.
I'll pick Boston just to make you regret it further.
All right. Yeah. Man, I shouldn't have taken the second pick in this draft. All right. I'm going to take Miami just because they are also a team that might be a buyer.
They just traded Birdman as we speak, although he hasn't been playing. And they got Brian Roberts, second baseman for the Baltimore Orioles.
No. Okay. Well, I'm hoping that, you know, the talk for them is because of the fact that they have Hassan Whiteside, or as he's referred to by all the European players in the league. You follow that on Deadspin and Twitter?
No. What do they call?
They call him, I forget, it's Blanc, which is white in French, and then whatever side is in French.
Oh, really?
All the Euros in the league have this running Twitter meme about how Hassan Whiteside's a terrible player and all he cares about is his stats. And it's not just the Euros. It's everybody in the NBA, actually.
Wait, the players actually trash him on Twitter?
But they do it. But they don't call him Whiteside. They call him Blanc. They call him whatever Whiteside is in French.
And he doesn't know about it, or he's like so crazy that it's not.
I mean, if I know about it, I'm sure he knows about it, right?
Yeah, but he's like nuts. He might like punch him.
So
in
you've
face.
Seen the advanced stats that show that the Heat's defense is actually much better when he's not on the court, right?
Yeah, but then there's like PR that says he's one of the best players in the NBA.
Yeah, PR. Yeah, so PR shows him as really good. The advanced stats don't like him,
and he's by far the best team on my garbage fantasy basketball team. Well,
that was built around like Georgie Dang. So yeah, you were in trouble.
Gorgie's been really good. I don't know how to pronounce his first name, but he's been great.
Now that KG's dead, give him those minutes. Yeah, he gets a lot.
Would KG play 5 minutes a game for a playoff team? Like, shouldn't they cut him so he could actually do something that's not embarrassing himself?
Well, no, because first of all, he's an assistant coach, essentially. That's essentially what he is.
Really?
And, I mean, he's gotten all the credit for, like, in fact.
All
so
the
much
credit? They have, like, the most talented team, and they're the worst team in the NBA.
Have you read a single article about the Timberwolves in the last 2 months? Like,
no one
how,
has. I don't even think there's been one written.
Everybody has
their
been.
Their beat reporters got an early vacation this year.
I'm talking on the national. Every single time there's a national story, it says the Timberwolves are rebuilding the right way as opposed to, like, the Sixers. And the specific example given is the fact that the Timberwolves brought in KG and Andre Miller to have veterans around the team.
It's smart to have veterans.
Can't just have 12 young idiots.
But they have a coach who's so bad that
their coach undoes any value of the kid. But the point is, KG's not trying to get them to win. KG is giving specific tools to improve Karl Anthony Towns' game.
Yeah, what about Ricky Rubio's game? Why is he terrible?
Yeah, because he can't shoot the ball. And KG also, he can get a defensive stop now and then.
Would he be useful as a fourth man off the bench playing a few minutes in a playoff game?
Yeah, because if for a defensive stop here and there, he can't play more than a couple minutes because he's old and decrepit.
He would never join the Spurs, right? He hates Duncan too much, I think.
Well, no, Duncan hates him.
No, he definitely hates Duncan too.
No. I mean,
he must have said something so horrible to Duncan because Duncan likes everybody.
He made some comment once about Duncan's dad or Duncan's mom or something.
Yeah.
Supposedly, like they were playing, and like one of it was Duncan was still in Shiva or something like that, or maybe it was
really?
Dishloshim. And KG said something like, come on, get your head in the game, man. Like, you know. Or he made some reference to the fact that, like, this is what I read years ago, and Duncan hated him ever since then.
I never saw that, but yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
Man, he must hate all the beat writers that wrote about his divorce.
Because KG's also so, like, intense on the court, and Duncan's so stoic, and, you know, Duncan's probably annoyed by that.
Things like the Spurs, like, there's a lot of weird stories that have never come out. I don't know if it's because they don't.
Well,
like,
Tony Parker is sleeping with people's wives.
Yeah,
he's also
like,
an anti-Semite,
like,
you know.
Sometimes they say, like, Pop makes jokes that aren't jokes. He'll be like, yeah, like so-and-so, like don't like Parker, like Duncan and Ginobili have never had a conversation in their lives off the court. They hate each other. Like, he'll say things, but like he's being serious and you can never tell if he's joking or not.
Yeah, well, they win though. So,
anyway,
So Hassan Whiteside is a free agent at the end of the year. The Heat don't really want to give him an $80 million contract. But I think that's why, you know, there's been talk about them trading him for Dwight Howard, something like that. So, you know, I think Miami's more likely to be a buyer than a seller. Obviously, their point guard situation, you know, Dragic has been a massive disappointment for them. But the other thing, of course, is Chris Bosh. Did you hear this? He might need blood thinners again. And he might be out for the year again, like last year.
Yeah, but now they're saying he might not. That's still in flux. That's why what we're doing here is random.
Yeah. But anyway, so I take Miami with my next pick.
Okay, so Miami is pick 10 overall?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to go with Indiana. I feel like Paul George is about to really, like, he's just getting his sea legs under him. And I feel
please don't reference the exhibition game in which he scored 41 points with no defense.
No, but I do think he's been playing well in real life, not in the All-Star game. And I do think,
He started really hot in November, and then he got really cold December, January.
Well, I don't know, what kind of shape he was in, but I do think, and also they've underachieved. They're much better than some of the teams ahead of them.
Yeah.
And you know, their coach is, on some days, he's a really good coach, and some days he's atrocious. But I think that's a pretty decent team that might, you know, if they play Boston the first round, I think they would beat them.
All right. So with my next pick, I'm going to take the team that has 31 games remaining, the only team with 31 games remaining.
Oh, the Philadelphia 76ers.
And no, that's really the only reason I'm taking them, because basically every single
Wait, are you serious? It's the Sixers?
No, it's not. I haven't got to the team yet.
Okay.
Basically, the top four teams in the East, and then there's the bottom two teams in the East, and everybody else is pretty much a 500 team, I think. Uh-huh. But you just mentioned underachievers. Nobody has underachieved more than the Washington Wizards.
No.
So they have 31 games left, and again, if they go 500...
But are they going to start selling like Gortat or Bradley Beal's corpse or stuff like that?
I don't know. I mean, John Wall's very good. And again, the fact that I get 31 games there as opposed to 28 from other teams, it's really a crapshoot at this point. Every team remaining other than the bottom five or six teams is going to get like 13 or 14 or 15 wins.
Yeah.
So I'll take Washington with my sixth pick.
I'm going to go with Chicago. I think Rose has been playing pretty well. I know they have some injuries, but to me, that's a team that's, you know, they're in a tight race for the playoffs. They're going to be playing hard till game 82.
Yeah,
I think that's a good pick here.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, because they don't look like they're going to be clinching a playoff spot unless they go on such a hot streak, in which case it's a good pick for you for that reason.
Yep. All right, what if they go on such a hot streak and then they end on a cold streak and it's like it never happened?
Yeah. So with my next pick, probably off of your board, I would guess, but I'm going to take Utah. Utah, the second half of last season is when they really exploded. Rudy Gobert really looked impressive. You know, right now they're 500. They're tied with Portland, for the 7 and 8 spots in the West. And I just think that, they have a pretty good home court advantage. I think that they're a young team that should improve as the season goes on. And
okay, I'm going to go with Dallas. To me, Cuban never gives up on a season, so you know they're not going to be sellers this week. They do have opportunities to make a move. I think there's a lot of value in the Mavericks. And to me, as a team that might be playing them in the first round, they're still pretty frisky. Like, they're a scary team.
Yeah, my only issue with Dallas is they only have 27 games left. So again, like, I predict them to go 15-12, and I have predicted Utah to go 15-15. Mm-hmm. But it's like, you know, I'd rather have those three extra games. So.
Wait, hold on. That tweet is coming in. Oh, your predictions are meaningless. Stop quoting them.
All right. Okay. So now with my next pick, you having trashed my predictions. Looking at my predictions, So they just said today that Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out for the year for Charlotte. That's a big problem.
Yeah, they swung for Courtney Lee, who was like fills that role maybe.
I mean, no, Kidd-Gilchrist is an elite defensive player.
They've had a weird year. They haven't gotten anything out of Jefferson, and
yeah, Jefferson's like done or something.
Kemba Walker is playing out of his mind.
Oh, he's
you know what's
good,
weird? Yeah. You know, I'm a UConn fan.
Yeah.
UConn, like, they've won four titles in the last, since 1999. Three, you know, since when players would reasonably still be in the league. There's only six UConn players right now in the NBA. Doesn't that seem like really low?
Khaled Alameen, of course, who was a Minneapolis boy.
I mean, Hamilton was around till last year from that game.
Rip. Yeah.
And then from 2003, Ben Gordon is out of the league for the first time this year.
Oh, I always hated Ben Gordon.
Yeah, he really never had a moment.
He had a couple decent playoff games in the first round against like the Celtics.
He really but he was a very good scorer, and like as like the third guard on the Spurs, he would be like a legendary player.
But he was such a one-dimensional player, and
he didn't play any defense.
Hold on, it's time for me to go off on an insane, insane rant that's going to boggle your mind. In like 2006, there was like an ad in Sports Illustrated for the upcoming NBA All-Star game for like the next season.
Yeah.
And the way they did the ad is they didn't show any players, but they showed sort of the scoreboard, and so it had like names and numbers. So it said like, for example, it had 21 and SA for Duncan, right?
Yep.
And they didn't have KG on this list, which annoyed me because this is at the point of, you know, when he was one of the top three or four players in the league. And they did have Ben Gordon on this list, who had never been an all-star at that point, and who I angrily said to my friends at the time, I'm making a prediction, Ben Gordon will never be an all-star. which I was correct about. And now, in hindsight, I think the reason they might have had not had KG on that list is because, again, this was in the offseason the year before. This was for an event a year in the future. And, you know, there was speculation that KG might be traded, so maybe they thought he'd be on the wrong team. But the fact that they had Ben Gordon on that list always annoyed me. And then the Pistons, of course, went ahead and gave him and Villanueva $50 million each.
Oh, they spent the UConn money.
Yeah, that was a not a good move by signing out.
So can you guess the? Oh, that's a low blow.
That's what KG said about Charlie Villanueva. Remember, he called him a cancer patient, and then his defense was, "I said that you are a cancer on the NBA family for your." He gave some like idiotic lie.
All right, can you name the six and UConn players in the NBA?
No, I'm not going to try.
Can you name any?
Yeah, Kemba Walker.
Okay.
Then the other point guard, who they won the title with.
What's his name?
This is so embarrassing right now.
He was the best player in the national championship team.
Yeah, I know. And it's escaping me. Oh, fuck. What's his name? Just tell me.
Wait, you better take that curse out.
No, I'm editing this out of the podcast. I'm too embarrassed.
Not
sound like
No. No, you're definitely not editing this out. Leave it in. Just take your curse out, but then we could have the curse acknowledgement. Right. Yeah, so the guys who've just got knocked out, like Emeka Okafor, surprisingly, like, I know he got hurt, but
he's surprised. Still in the league.
Well, he's not, but he's still very young, and he never really, like, it's not like he faded. Playing wise, he was still getting a double double his last season in the league.
Double double, like 6 and 6, maybe. But
no, he was getting double doubles. Like, he was legitimately, you know, he's a bust in terms of, like, he never was like a 5-block-a-game guy. Anyway, the players still in the league are Kemba Walker, Shabazz Napier, Jeremy Lamb, Andre Drummond, Rudy Gay, Caron Butler, and it said 6, but Villanueva is still technically in the league, so it's really 7.
I would just like to point out that. The last time that Emeka Okafor had a double-double was in 2009.
Yeah, well, he hasn't played in a while.
He played 2010, 2011, 2012.
He wasn't shot, though. I'm saying, like, people would still be interested if he was healthy.
Yeah, he had 9-9 his last season.
Okay, that's still good.
That was 3 years ago. So, he's been out of the league for a while. All right, so even with Gilchrist out, should I take Charlotte? I mean, could Detroit be a buyer?
This is like the draft. There's a shot clock. If you don't make a pick, I get a pick.
All right, I'll just take Charlotte.
Okay, that's a terrible pick.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Portland. They have a ton of cap space, so they're really one of the biggest wild cards. They have a very rich owner. They could make a huge move in the next few days, and I don't know if they will, but you know, put a really good player with Lillard, and they could be scary.
All right, I'll take New Orleans. You know, in theory, this is supposed to be a good team. In practice, they've been a bad team, but. There's no reason why they can't be 500 the rest of the year. Davis is healthy now.
Yeah, especially with Charlotte's injuries, I think that the team that's going to get that spot, you know, I think Washington's just going to be too far back, and they haven't really shown any signs of life. And Orlando's interesting, but I'm going to go with Detroit, who I think their ceiling
They don't need to steal a spot. They're in the they're a 500 team right now.
Yeah, but they're behind Charlotte right now for the
by half a game.
Yeah. I'm saying, so they're, if Charlotte misses out, especially with MKG injured, you know, I think their ceiling is higher than. Just Charlotte. They're probably still, they're the 8th best team in the East, probably.
Now I'm thinking maybe I just take the team with the most games remaining.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Is that, that's a bad strategy?
I mean, if a team, like, I think that the Knicks, the only team that have played 55 games, right?
I have four, no, a bunch of teams have.
Oh, yeah?
Such as Boston, who you took, and such as Dallas. Well,
that's bad. If you're the Knicks and, like, have some prayer, they don't really have a prayer of, like, some semblance of
hope. But this
is
what I'm saying. I have four teams left. That I project to win 13 games. This is how many losses I projected to win. 14, 15, 16, 17.
Great story.
So in other words, every team has different a number of games remaining. Probably I should take the team with 30 games remaining, right?
Okay.
That's Orlando. I'm going to take Orlando. Maybe Gordon gets a boost after doing so well in the dunk
contest. Yeah, usually what happens is Harold Miner effect. Like, you win the slam dunk contest, you become the best player in the NBA right away.
I think Zach LaVine had the worst PR in the league last year.
Yeah. The Houston Rockets, I think, are the best team remaining at this point. I'm going to take them.
Well, they are the best team remaining, but they're expected to be big sellers. So, you know,
They're not selling James Harden. You know, they're still going. Who they're
going to sell?
Ty Lawson, who doesn't
it.
Play. They're not trading
gonna,
James Harden. I can assure.
Well, they're going
to trade James Harden is for someone who's better than James Harden.
Yeah, they're going to trade Dwight and or they're trying to trade Dwight and.
Well,
Lawson.
He's not playing well, so they could survive without him. They haven't done anything with him.
Yeah, I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to take.
There's no more limbs. None of these teams are playoff teams.
Yeah, that's
teams
right. All right, fine. I'm going to take Sacramento just because, you know, they have Boogie and they always have the chance of the best player on the court in a given game.
Yeah. And they're only allowing 109 points a game, which is pretty good, right?
Yeah.
That's good defense, right?
All right, yeah.
I love Omri Kaspi, but he is like an atrocity and an abomination on defense.
And
he's like their third best defender.
Yeah.
People are always like, oh, that's a perfect player for San Antonio. Like, no, they wouldn't let him in the door.
I think people just say that because he's a different European country, and then they could add another team. But it's Tony Parker hates Jews, so that wouldn't work.
That's true. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That guy, he would be that comedian guy. Who's
He'd have to give the
that guy in jail. The comedian,
the Quinnell, like the inverse Nazi salute or whatever.
Yeah. By the way, we have an ad to read. Go visit France; it's a great country. Okay, I'm going to go with. Oh boy, this is literally like looking for an eclair in the garbage at this point.
Yeah.
The Washington Wizards. I've been trashing them the whole podcast, but
yeah, except I took them in the sixth round.
I was going to say this is the round. This is the round where I start to pick teams that I've been taking because Chester has the list, and I'm going to go with a very talented team, and I don't want you to have them because I don't want you to root for them. The Minnesota Timberwolves.
Look, here's the thing: this team started out 8-8 or 9-9, whatever it was, in early December, and they were in like the 7 or 8 spot of the playoffs. And again, they have a lot of talent. The problem is that their coach is such a disaster. The other thing is this a team that's going to try and tank? Like we know, like. Brooklyn, Philly, Phoenix, Lakers.
I don't know. Been reading all these articles that are apparently being written about them, so you tell me.
Well, hold on. There's four teams that are like definite tankers, right? Those are the four teams that are going to win like 5 or fewer games from here on out, right?
Yeah.
The Timberwolves already have 3 more wins than all of those teams, so they're not going to really be able to catch up with any of them. But then they also have 5 fewer wins than any other team. So the Timberwolves are sort of locked into the fifth spot in terms of the ball, you know, the ping pong balls. So I don't really know, you know. They won 3 games in a row three out of 4 just recently. It's just I don't know because Sam Mitchell's so bad that he sort of counteracts how I mean Karl Anthony Towns is already one of the 10 best players in the NBA. He's
what?
Insane.
Really?
I don't know. You should see.
Right, let's do quick rankings and then we literally have to go.
Karl Anthony Towns right now has the highest PER for a 20-year-old rookie in NBA history.
Okay,
more than Shaq.
What
more
about
than anybody?
That doesn't mean he's better than like 21-year-olds and 33-year-olds. Okay, so all right, I'm going to name 10 players who are better than Karl Anthony Towns. Okay.
So this is not like
Westbrook
who you want, but this
Westbrook,
is better right now.
Who's better?
Right?
Westbrook, Durant.
Okay.
Kawhi, LeBron. Anthony Davis.
Yep.
Chris Paul.
Yep.
I can't say Blake Griffin, right? Because he's not even playing and he's whatever.
Okay.
Can I say him? Would you give me Blake Griffin?
I'll allow it.
You will allow Blake Griffin. All right. So now I'm going to have an easy time. Draymond Green.
You know, Draymond Green is better for what the Warriors are doing, but is he a better basketball player than Karl Anthony Towns? I don't think so.
Okay. It's a reasonable argument.
And look, I have Draymond Green number 6 on my MVP ballot, so no disrespect to Draymond.
No disrespect. Oh, Draymond, don't come after us. John Wall.
John Wall's very overrated, I think. You didn't mention Stephen Curry, I don't think.
I'm getting to Curry. What's it called? Curry. I'm just going team by team here. I said LeBron, right?
Yep.
Okay. John Wall.
Yeah,
I just said that. And then who was the other person? Oh, Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, Jimmy Butler, Paul George.
Paul George. So he's like at best 12 and in reality 40.
James Harden, who's doesn't play defense at all, but, you know,
right.
He's pretty good.
Yeah. So Towns is somewhere between 12 and 40.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you could argue like a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, whose numbers might be better on a different
team. It's hard to tell even. Like Aldridge plays so few minutes and there's so little I've asked of him.
Yeah, but, you know, the point is he's very, very good. On the other hand, Wiggins, I'm very unimpressed with Wiggins. Wiggins to me is very much like a Carmelo or a Rudy Gay.
How about Wiggins and Jabari? They're both terrible. People are like, gosh. People
is way better than Jabari.
Yeah, I know. Jabari's terrible. But people were like, oh, my gosh, I can't believe that, the Cavs traded, Bennett and, well, obviously nobody cares. They traded Bennett, who's averaging 4 points a game in the D-League. But they traded Wiggins for Love.
Love.
And meanwhile, like, yes, Love has struggled, but Love is still better than Wiggins. I mean, Wiggins has, you know.
But it's a difference of a 19-year-old versus –
Of course. He might become amazing, but
And Love is a huge defensive liability. And also, remember, when a team trades the stud – they never get back value in the NBA, ever.
True.
The Timberwolves did in a situation where they had to make the trade. I mean, Cleveland would be better with Wiggins than Love, by the way, because Wiggins is a better defensive player than Love.
And, I've never seen a box score, though. Wiggins is like 22 points, half assist, a third of a rebound, blocks on the season, negative two blocks.
Yeah. No, he's not as good defensively as they said he was, but, you know, he's still young.
All right, let's go rapid fire now.
So I'm going to take Denver. I've always liked the Denver home court advantage in the NBA.
Sure.
You know, they beat the Warriors, I think.
Yeah, no, for sure. This year it's 11-15. Great home court advantage.
Oh, that's the record at home?
Yes.
Damn it.
Don't
interject facts into my analysis.
Okay, fine. I'll go with the home court advantage. I'm going to take the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 15-8 at home.
Oh, wow. They are?
Yeah.
Oh. All right. That's very surprising.
Look at you with your research.
So that means they're 7-24 on the road.
They're 7-24 on the road. They're not. They have a tough time away from the altitude of Milwaukee.
All right. So, you know, the four garbage teams are the only ones left other than the Knicks. So I obviously have to take the Knicks. they seem to think that they're going to make the playoffs or something, which is why they fired Fisher. I don't know what they're doing, but yeah, I'll take the Knicks, whatever.
I'm going to go with the Lakers. I feel like they're going to try the hardest between them, the Suns, the Nets, and the Sixers.
But like with their coach and their best player trying is actually a net negative. Like
it's true.
It's the losses.
True. It's so. True. It's true. Byron Scott's look, really going to amp it up.
Brooklyn,
more
Philly,
long
Phoenix,
twos, guys.
Brooklyn, Philly, Phoenix, and the Lakers will combine for fewer wins than at least four teams.
Yeah.
From here on out.
The Spurs, like, there are crazy stats. The Spurs have more 15-point wins than almost every team in the NBA has wins.
Yeah. Yeah. There, isn't their scoring differential still better? You know.
Yes. The Spurs are averaging winning by 13.3 points a game.
Yeah. It's kind of insane.
Which means on average, they're almost 25 points a game better than the Sixers.
Yeah. Well, the Spurs are on pace to win 70 games. Which, yeah.
The Spurs are like, I've never seen this. The Spurs are averaging 105 points a game, which this season is just fine, but in most seasons would be amazing. But they're allowing 91, and no one else in the East is allowing under 99.
Yeah. No, they're a very good team.
I mean, I said them at the West. In the East, there's a couple teams in the 90s. All right, pick your team.
So you took the Lakers. Yeah. Which of these garbage teams do I want left? Brooklyn, everybody's expecting they're going to, and there's been talk about trading Brook Lopez every year. But I think, look, of the three remaining teams, I'll take Brooklyn only because Brooklyn has no reason to give away assets because, like, they don't have any draft picks.
True.
So they have no reason to get worse. So I'll take Brooklyn, and do you want Phoenix?
Yeah, I want Philly for sure. Phoenix doesn't even know where the court is at this point. Although Markieff Morris has played very well since they fired the coach, that he was clearly trying to get fired since the GM traded his twin brother.
Yeah.
Doesn't make sense. Oh, yeah, you think he's trying just to get traded and have to trade them?
Even though,
mail it
like,
in
they
again?
Had to trade the brother because when they were together, they were, like, driving around town beating the shit out of people. And they were doing it in their own custom car that's the only one like it in the state of Arizona.
And they were wearing their own jerseys, which
you're
not
so supposed
to do in public.
There was no question. I mean, like, you know, Bomani Jones said this. Like, when you guys commit crimes together, I'm sorry, but one of you is going to have to go. Like, you know.
What if we got one Morris brother and one Lopez brother on one team, but then we had, like, one Morris brother and one Lopez brother on another team, and then they sort of – it was, like, still twin magic, but, you know.
But the thing is, the Morrises are much closer in talent than – like, and like Jason Jerron Collins was somewhat similar. They were also very similar.
Not
like,
in contract. I think Robin Lopez, of those four guys is the highest paid. He's just happens to be
Brooke,
the
worst. Brooke.
What?
Oh, no, Robin also has a big contract. No, but Brooke makes
– insane. You're right, but Robin is insane.
Brooke is dramatically better than Robin. Robin is like a passable center. Brooke is like, you know, a borderline all-star if he was on a decent team.
The Lopez brothers can't live together in New York even though they
play – because they're cats.
Because their cats don't get along. So they have to like pay tens of thousands.
The Lopez's are great. By the way, their mom obviously was hoping they would have daughters. Like Brooke and Robin, come on.
Yeah, I agree.
If you heard the names Brooke and Robin and you were told they were twins and they were in Sports Illustrated, you would assume it was the swimsuit issue and you'd get excited.
Yeah. Listen, we live in a post-gender society, so I don't care what people's names are.
Ding.
Anyway, I think, okay, so next week we're going to do the Oscars preview. We're going to watch, I have watched every Oscars movie and a lot of, even like the minor nominees, and I'm going to have like a power rankings of the movies or, depending on how much Chester watches, but we'll have something list Oscar related and I'll give you a lot of hot takes. I have a lot of notes already on
Oscar
movies.
This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to list the 8 movies from 2015 that I haven't seen yet that I plan on seeing in the next week, if possible.
Okay.
You know, I'm not going to get to more than 2 or 3 of these realistically, but I'll do my best.
Fine.
And then you and also the listeners chime in with any other movie that has to be on this list that isn't. And I will add one other movie to this list. So here's my list in general order of what I want to see them. Number 1, Spotlight.
You keep going fast.
Number 2, The Hateful Eight. Mm-hmm. Number 3, Trumbo. Mm-hmm. Number 4, Bridge of Spies. Number 5, The Martian. Number 6, Creed. Number 7, Steve Jobs. Number 8, Brooklyn.
Yeah, definitely see The Martian.
Okay, I will.
And Spotlight. And Spotlight, obviously.
That's number 1, yeah.
And Bridge of Spies, nominated for Best Picture.
Yeah, is there anything else that I absolutely
Well, you refuse to see The Room? Are you refusing to see The Room?
Honestly, it's so depressing. I want to see something where some guys
I read the book. It's like a kids' movie.
Do you watch Unbreakable? Wait, really? Isn't it about a woman getting raped and like locked
in but you see it from the kid's POV, so he doesn't even know what's going on. Anyway, I have to go. So stop asking
like
me about Unbreakable.
Do you like Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt?
Whatever.
Okay. The point is, like, that's the rule.
That's it.
Like,
that's the end of the podcast. When I say whatever, it's over. That's the rule.
Wait, so what movie do I need to see? I'm not going to see The Room. Unless a bunch of listeners tell me I have to.
Then see I really like Brooklyn. See Brooklyn.
Oh, Brooklyn's on my list. You didn't list. The rules are a movie that's not on my list.
99 Homes.
That's not 2015, though, is it? It's a documentary about the housing crisis?
No, it's not a documentary. IMDb says 2014, but it came out in September. I don't know why. Maybe it was like shown at a film festival in 2014, but I'm counting it 2015. Anyway, I got to go.
Okay.
Bye.
Want to say whatever again?
Whatever.
Bye.